We're going to take a look for a moment about the greatness of God. And there is no greater example of the greatness of God than the cross, where Jesus died and took on sin to give salvation to us. So if you need your Bible, you can grab that and turn to Psalm number 138. As we're turning there, the Psalms are very interesting. There's almost an obsession by most of the psalmists with the greatness of God. And that is something that is very indoctrinated into the Jewish people and is really very present in the Old Testament. You look at the stories, you look at everything that's listed there, these great works, these great acts of God. Starting with creation, you know, through the promise to Abraham, through leading the people into the promised land, through, you know, protecting them and delivering them. It's really incredible. And I think as Christians, a lot of times we get so focused maybe on one snippet or one instance, one certain spot where God showed His greatness, when in reality, the God of Genesis is the God of Revelation and everything in between. And the greatness there knows no bounds. So let's take a look at Psalm 138. So this is a psalm from David. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. For your constant love and truth, you have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. All the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble, but he knows the haughty from a distance. If I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill His promise for me. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not abandon the work of your hands. As we think about greatness being attributed to God, greatness is something that we do not attribute to ourselves, generally speaking, or some sort of ordinary or everyday or commonplace event or talent or something like that. Greatness is something that we usually reserve for something that is extraordinary or abnormal or something that is outside of what we typically see. And that is God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Not the glory of man, not the glory of some creation, not the glory of just, oh, the whole universe or this great big cosmos that's swirling about and showing us something about spirituality. No, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they point us to Him. So when we encounter the glory of God, when we see the glory of God, we know that it is abnormal. But it changes us when we see it. And there's not a better example of that than Isaiah. In chapter 6, when he sees the glory of the Lord, and he says, "Woe to me, I'm undone, I'm falling apart, I'm literally being destroyed at the sight of this majesty, this glory, this God is absolutely taking everything I am out of place." But, as it says in Psalm 138, God remembers the humble. And God cleansed Isaiah and allowed him to live and to serve. So, in thinking about the greatness of God, it is something that is completely foreign to us, completely outside of our DNA, but it's something that registers with us, it is something that changes us when we encounter it, and it is a must experience for every Christian. If you have never felt the presence of God, the glory of God, or even considered the holiness, the purity of God, that's a step that needs to be taken this morning. So please consider that. We're going to worship the Lord. Take a moment to reflect on His greatness. And as we sing, if you need to come to the altar or make an altar where you're at or grab somebody and pray, you're always free to do that. Goodness, for His greatness, for His power. So let's bow. We're going to take a moment just in your own heart. Just thank God. Just tell Him how good He is. Just praise Him. Just take this moment. Pray to Him. Worship Him. Tell Him. You've heard it described in the Scripture. You've sang. He is our King. Worship Him in this moment. Praise Him. Tell Him. Father God, we bow in Your presence this morning. Lord, we're grateful, we're thankful for You. Lord, You are the Creator of life. You put us here. You placed us where we are, when we've lived. God, You're Lord over every detail of our lives. We just want to stop this morning and say thank You, God. Thank You that You are so powerful and mighty. Lord, thank You that You are so loving and gracious and kind. God, that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus, to the cross for us. God, You sent Your Son to die for us, Lord. Thank You for this. God, we give You praise today. We worship You this morning. We glorify and magnify Your name. God, You are high and lifted up. Lord, there are none like You. God, we praise You and we thank You today. You are holy. Lord, You are mighty. You are majestic in power. And You are amazing in love and how You've reached out to each one of us. Father, I pray in this moment You would truly be our King. We would bow our heart as well as our head. We would bend before You and acknowledge You as Lord of our lives. Father, thank You for being the mighty God that You are. Lord, continue to speak and work in this moment, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take a moment. The next part of what we want to do is we want to think about our own standing before God. What inevitably happens when you come into the presence of a holy God is you're made aware of your own sinfulness, of your own need. And so I want to give you a scripture from Proverbs 28 and verse 13. And when I'm done there, I've got a handout we're going to pass out to you. And just to try to help you to focus on confessing sin. So this is an extremely serious time when we come before the Lord. But let's notice, first of all, the scripture, Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And so, one level, we know this, but this needs to be something that we grasp, how absolutely devastating it is for us to cover over our sins and pretend that they're not there. Fellas, let's go ahead and pass out those sheets, please, to everyone. And please take one of these. Now, when you look at them, guys, be aware. We need some of you to come over to this side, please, because we've got Clinton over here all by his lonesome. When we
look at this sheet of paper. I know in one sense you're going to be a little bit overwhelmed with, boy, there's a lot of stuff on this page. Okay? And honestly, there's probably more here than we can really cover this morning in just a few minutes of time. So this is something that I want you to come back to this week. I want you to come back every day this week and just work through this sheet, confessing sin. But we're going to start here this morning. And folks, we're not trying to be your Holy Spirit. We're not trying to put my finger, or anybody is trying to put their finger on your particular situation or where you are this morning. But oh, listen. What I have learned is that there's so many times that there's things in my heart and things in my mind that I've gotten so used to, and I don't even see them anymore. I don't even hear it in my voice. I don't even think about it. So this is just to help you to think about your own life, where you are with the Lord. So let's just take this moment. And here's what you do with that sheet of paper. This is a prayer of cleansing. And so we're going to start at the top with the scripture, 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I agree with you. Because that's what confession means. Confession means you agree with God about what He says about sin. So I agree with you and ask you to cleanse me from the sin of. Now, here's what I want you to do. I mean, you say, really, Brother Tim? Yes, really. I want you to take a pen, take a pencil, and I want you to begin to underline the sins in your life on this sheet of paper. You say, what if somebody sees? Look, if that's where we are, we're never going to get anywhere with God. Don't worry about anybody else. Worry about your own heart, your own soul, and begin to work through this. And if you're like me, you're going to have stuff underlined all the way up and down the page. Okay? Everybody get one? Anybody need one? Everybody have one of these? James, we've got extras. Just begin to work through this. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Just ask God to reveal truth. Ask God to show you your own heart, where you are this morning. Father, we bow before you this morning. Lord, help us to be so honest with you. Help us to be unflinching in the gaze of your Spirit, Lord, as we see things within us, Lord, that we don't like. And we know that you don't like. Oh, Father, would you speak to our hearts and minds? Lord, would you help us to agree with you today that these are sins, God, that sent you to the cross, Lord Jesus. You died for these things. And yet for some of them, for some of us, Lord, we've begun to just live with this sin. We begin to just allow it to be there in our heart, our mind. God, would you forgive us today? God, we turn to you and we agree with you, God. It's a sin, and it's a sin against you, Lord. And we ask you to forgive us, God. We ask you to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. God, we turn to you in this moment. Father, please, Lord, help us. Not just to confess this sin, but God, to turn from it, Lord. Help us to forsake it. God, help us no longer to cover over our sin and pretend anything. God, help us in this moment. Holy Spirit to work in your heart this morning. If you need to come to the altar at any time, please feel free. If you need to make an altar right where you are, that's fine. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to enter into His presence, to hear His voice. Some of you are going to be right here. This is where you're at, and it's really where you need to stay. We're going to continue in worship. But if you need to just focus on this, that's fine. If you need to come to the altar, that's fine.
Ourselves up to you this morning, Lord, knowing full well that we are filthy. But God, we ask that you would take this moment, allow us to be cleansed. If you would stand with me, please.
Take a dying man, raise him up to life again. Who can heal a wounded soul? Who can make us white as snow? Who can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross. where
He loves you. He died to pay for your sins. And this morning, if you don't know Christ, then that's the place you need to start. You need to receive Jesus. And if you'd like to do that, you can come and grab me. We'll help you to know how to do that at any moment. All right, please be seated.
Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Brother Tim asked me to speak about praying in faith. And the book of Matthew gives us two examples of what happens whenever we don't come to God in faith and whenever we do. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 13, whenever Jesus went back to his hometown, Nazareth. And it says that Jesus did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith, he did not move. So that shows us right there, in order for God to move in our lives and in the lives around us and in this country, we have to have faith. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, we're going to look at the example that Matthew gave us. What happens whenever we come to God in faith? It says, when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, in terrible agony. I will come and heal him," he told him. "Lord," the centurion replied, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, my servant will be cured, for I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus told the centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was cured that very moment. So we see that the centurion, he approached Jesus, and it says that he pleaded with him. And listen, you don't go to somebody and plead with them unless you know and you believe that they are capable of doing what you ask. And so a prayer of faith isn't one, it's not one like, what if the centurion had came up and he was like, "Jesus, could you possibly maybe heal my servant?" That's not pleading. He came to him, he said, "Jesus, heal my servant, for he is paralyzed and in agony." And that is coming to someone in faith, believing that they can do it. And I believe that the reason why we as Christians do not see God moving more in our life, more in the lives around us, the reason why we do not see revival happening more, instead we see this country turning further and further from God, the reason is because we're not coming to God in faith. Instead, we're sounding like a banging cymbal in the streets. Our words are empty. But if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, mountains will be moved. So where are you at today? Are you a symbol? Just going through the routine of prayer because as Christians that's what we're supposed to do? Or are you coming to God in faith, pleading over your lost friends, over your lost family members, over this country, pleading God to forgive you of the sin that you have committed? in order for God to move in Acts 1:8 day, the foundation has to be laid in a prayer of faith. In order for God to move in our revival coming up, the foundation has to be laid in prayer of faith. In order for God to move in the lives around us, the foundation has to be laid in prayer of faith. And in order for God to move in my life and in your life, the foundation has to be laid in the prayer of faith. So no matter where you are, whether you're like the people that was in Jesus' hometown that didn't come to Him in faith, or you're like this centurion pleading with God, we all need more faith. So pray that God will increase your faith. And if you're struggling with not having any, pray that God will give it to you.
Sorry, that was my fault. In our nation, we need revival. So I'm going to ask you to find somebody around you that you don't mind to spend a moment with them in prayer. And at least one person out of your group, two, three, four people, whatever it is, one person at least, lead that group in prayer. But as we pray, let's pray in faith. Let's believe God. Let's believe God for some great things. We need His touch today. Okay? Alright? Y'all know what we're doing? Alright, just find somebody. Just pick somebody that doesn't look too threatening and just spend this moment. Just pray and meet needs through prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your power. Lord, the same power that Jesus used to heal that centurion servant, Lord, that's present today. And You can still work and do amazing, mighty things, miracles, Lord. You can do anything You choose to do, God, today. And we thank You for that. We praise You. And we just ask You to work in our church family and each of our families. And Lord, in this nation, Father, we plead with You, God, to bring revival and bring awakening, God. Wake us up, Lord. Wake up Your church. Lord, help us to rise up and in faith begin to claim Your promises, begin to serve You and live for You and honor You. And I thank You so much for what You've spoken into our hearts already this morning. Now, Lord, help us in these next moments just to hear Your voice and to follow the prompting of Your Spirit. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Me too. Speak for a minute on prayer. I went home and I told Alicia, I said, I've got to get up Sunday morning and talk to myself for 3 or 4 minutes in front of church. Because I'm like most people, my prayer life's probably not where it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be, not probably. But I love the Lord. I love to get up in the mornings and go to work, whether it's 40 minutes or an hour and a half, and to where I'm going and just pray and just enjoy time with Him. The problem is, I don't stay focused enough and through the day. I do like most of us, I sin. But, you know, driving home the night he asked me, I thought about the reasons that we pray. And the first one that came to mind was Hebrews 13:15. And it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So just to praise him and give thanks was the first one. And then over in Hebrews 4:16. Says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know what it's like as a Christian. You know, we still have tough times. God doesn't promise us an easy road, but, you know, He gives us His mercy and His grace to help us get through anything that comes our way. Psalms 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." And just as forgiveness. We're all sinners. You know, what you've heard today, you know that if you filled out, I almost ran out of pencil lead a while ago. I haven't underlined so many things, the sin of my life. But I thank God for His forgiveness. Ephesians 1:15-17, Paul prayed for the Ephesians. We need to pray for each other. As Christian men and women, we need to be praying for each other, lift each other up. And that's one of the fun things we do on Tuesday nights is we got a little group that gets together and plays pool. And first thing we do is we pray for each other and our families and, of course, anything else. But that is the most important thing that we do that night. Is to pray for each other. It's very important. And you know, if your prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceilings like has happened to me in the past, I read a scripture that some of you men are not going to like very much. But 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as to unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So, we have to love our wives, respect our wives, and treat our wives correct for the Lord to hear our prayers. Another thing is to be an example to our children. And my daughter is here, my son's not, but I didn't always pray with my kids, and that's a huge regret. Okay, we need to pray as a family, and it's very important. A lot of us have known prayer warriors. There's prayer warriors in this church, and I'm not going to call names to keep from hurting feelings, but one that's passed on now, James Thomas King. Anybody that never heard him pray, wonderful man, wonderful heart, just had a desire to help people, and that's one way to help people is praying. And I heard a radio preacher here a while back, and I think I mentioned this to Tim or somebody, but he said that we only needed to pray for things one time, and I turned him off. Disagree 100%. That is not right. I know God already knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. We don't have to say anything for Him to know. But I think that we need to just to be faithful and just to keep praying and keep praying. I quit praying for my mother when I was 13. She quit going to church, and I quit praying for her by the time I was 18. By the time I was 23 or 24, I realized my mother was saved. But that's something that's never quit praying. If it's on your heart, you pray for it. I get a little emotional, in case you all haven't noticed. Sorry. But I read a quote here a while back in a book that I read. Jack Graham's the author, Man of God is the book, and the quote was from Winston Churchill. It says, "The East, there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared and unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour." And as I thought about that, I thought about that from the point of a Christian. And how sad would that be if we're not prayed up when that time comes, any time comes to witness and stand for God. But, you know, to be prepared is to be prayed up. To be qualified is to be in the Word, is to learn God's Word. And how can we serve God to our potential if our prayer life is lacking? It's impossible. So, I heard a song, I'm not going to mention the name, but I heard a song back when I was young that the chorus said, "Wake me up early, be good to my dogs, and teach my children to pray." And the man missed the boat because he's asking his wife to teach his children to pray. He should have said, "Honey, help me teach my children to pray." To be a man of God, we have to be a man of prayer. Thank you.
We want to take this moment, and we want to pray. God has put some things on our hearts today. Maybe you've already dealt with some things on this list. Maybe you need to go back to your list and work on that some more. Maybe God's prompted you that you need to pray with your husband or your wife, or come to the altar, or something you need to get right with somebody else, or there's something that you need to do publicly. You need to follow Christ. Maybe you've trusted Jesus, but you've never confessed Him before others. Whatever it is that God may be prompting you today, maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. You've never been saved. You need to be. I want to invite you this morning to come and receive Jesus Christ. We would love to take the word and just pray with you and help you. And so if that's you this morning, you come, take my hand. And we would love to sit with you and just pray and help you with that. Or if there are other spiritual needs, something you're struggling with. There's some of these things that honestly we need help with. We really do. And until we get honest enough to admit that we need God's help, but we need somebody to come alongside of us and give us some encouragement or keep us accountable. In some ways, we may never change. And my hope and my prayer is this morning that God stirred your heart about some areas. And God stirred your spirit. So, this is our invitation time. If God's spoken your heart about something, then, answer His call. And, dads, maybe you want to gather up your kids and just pray with them if you haven't done that. Whatever it is, you answer God's call, whatever God leads you to in this moment. But let's just bow and focus on the Lord. And in a few minutes, Daniel's going to lead us in another song. But let's just take a moment, and before we get there, let's just think about what God has put upon our hearts. Maybe He's got a burden He's placed on your heart for somebody, for some person. And this is a great time. Let's pray. Let's pray. Seek the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, give us a freedom. And Lord, give us a sense of urgency, God, to cry out to You and to seek Your face. Father, pour Yourself into us in this moment. Rebuke the enemy from us. Bind Satan. Lord, keep him from being able to interfere, to deceive, or to distract in any way, God. Help us to focus in and lean in close to You, Lord.